Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this Sabbath day. Thank you for the trials that we have experienced up to this point, especially this week. It seems the enemy of souls is getting very upset because the time is short, and we're seeing all sorts of immense trials in our families. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list that we pray for each and every day, especially those that are lost, and even those that come against us as they do. We pray for them as well, that you keep a hedge of angels around them and us and all the workers that are out there. It's amazing how many you have sent, Father. We haven't asked for a single one to go forth, but now we got nearly 1,000 that are out there doing the work. Thank you also for blessing everyone that's in attendance today on the in the room here, in the radio, around the teleconference. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so that you and you alone are glorified. And thank you for accepting this prayer that we offer to the best of our ability. And that ability always falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right, we're on question number 6. Lesson 31. In case anybody's new here, this lesson's all about when all the religions unite, which this is an old study course that we've had for quite some time, and all the religions actually united officially June 26, 2000, just as the prophecy said they would. Well, didn't come up with that exact date. We don't know any days or hours. We just know what's going to happen next, and that did in fact happen. And we were expecting it, and so it was good to see when it happened, because it allowed the scoffers to clam up. But anyway, we're on question number 6, and this one has to be, let's see what question 5 was here. Those who trust in the Confederacy thing. So John the Revelator is the one, you know, he's in Revelation, of course, in the book of Revelation. And it says, question 6, John was shown the judgment of whom? Okay. Thank you, Brother Gorin. All right. For putting the verse in the room, and it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, a lot of people get upset about that, but they don't seem to understand the symbology behind it and the symbolism of it with, like an adulterous woman is one that commits adultery against her husband. Well, the woman in prophecy, as we know, is the church. And so if the church is apostate or committing spiritual adultery, she's going to be considered a whore in prophecy. And then the study goes on to declare this. It says, we learn in lesson 28 that a woman in symbolic prophecy represents a church or religious system, while a pure woman represents God's true church. A whore is the most appropriate symbol for this corrupt religious system. And then it gives a couple of more references from Jeremiah chapter 3, Ezekiel 16, and of course Jeremiah 13. But let's look at Jeremiah 3, verses 1 to 8, and then verse 20. There's a reason for here. It says, they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord, yet returneth to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places. And see, that's one of the beauties of our Lord, by the way. He's saying, return anyway, repent, confess, and everything's good. Stop it, in other words. But it says, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast been lying with or lean with. And that in the ways, it says, in the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withholden. Let me stop there. Well, I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna go on because there's a reason I'm sharing this, and because it's happening right now. What Jeremiah the prophet is talking about here. But the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things, and thou couldst, as thou couldst. And the Lord also said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? And by the way, we are Israel today. Of course, we understand the theology behind it. Replacement theology is real. Old Testament talked of it. New Testament spoke of it while it was happening. And then Jesus and the apostles confirmed it in statements that they made in regards to the Jews are no longer considered a favored nation of God. It's those that believe in Jesus as Messiah are now called Israel. But this is way back before then. And so Israel was still the chosen people at this time. So anyway, it goes on to say that she has gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree. That's, of course, the symbolic theology of the pagan. That's why you got the Christmas tree and stuff like that. This has always been the case with the pagans. They go up to the high mountains with the bonfires, and they also have the green trees, the ones that don't drop their leaves. They're supposed to be eternal, the evergreen. And that's why you'll see the evergreen as the Christmas tree. Anyway, it goes on, and there played the harlot. In other words, spiritual adultery, because this is Israel he's talking to. And I said, after she had done these things, turn thou unto me. But she returneth not. And her treacherous sister Judah sought, and I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committeth adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Kind of reminds me of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's boy, where he saw what everything that Nebuchadnezzar went through. He saw that man go from a very hateful king and murderous God used him in a mighty way, but then, of course, God knew the end result of the man. And then he went from being very hateful and angry and deadly to a God-fearing man. But yet, when he died, his son takes over, and he doesn't remember any of that. So it's kind of the same thing here with Judah. A bill of divorce, so surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And so how fitting is this passage for today's, churches? I mean, this is why none of them have the early or the latter rain, for that matter. And the early rain, of course, is the Holy Spirit coming upon you when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the real way. Because prophecy did say that most of the churches, like it says in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 1, well, just verse 1, actually, paraphrasing it, more or less says, if you define all the symbols, that all the churches are going to claim Jesus Christ as their Lord. But they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. But they want to be called Christians just to take away their shame. And that's today. That's all the churches. And that's why they have such a hard time with getting their prayers answered or any kind of understanding in Scripture, because when you're mocking the Lord or disobedient, he's not going to bless. And the few that do have the early rain will never receive the latter rain until they come literally out of apostasy, because, the Ninth Hour Church, for example, the SDA Church, which in its infancy was the fourth of the final movements, seven churches, four movements. It was the third movement, where they were one of the true churches in the beginning. And, of course, that is why Satan targeted it. And it fell into apostasy. And this is why we're here. I've never was SDA, but some of you were. And this is why I try to tell as many SDAs as I can that they need to read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. A lot of what Israel did back then is what the SDA church does today, because it's like we've always said, And even mankind says this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, what I mean is Satan used certain temptations and certain allurements and certain twisted theology, and it worked so well back then, he's using it again today. Like, for example, when Jesus showed up as Messiah, everybody thought, because of the twisted theology of the Pharisee, they all thought when Messiah came, he'd be muscle-bound, and he would be destroying Rome, and they would reign on earth with the Messiah, you know, forever. But that wasn't the case. Jesus was to come as a humble servant to show how we should walk, and he was to die for our sins, to be that, you know, perfect sacrifice. And for them to have thousands of years of sacrificing little lambs as a proleptic perspective of what would happen on Calvary later and how they still missed it just shows you how easily mankind can be led off the path of truth if they just give Satan a foothold. So we cannot, in proper Bible definition, call them Israel. You know, the SDA church. You cannot call them Israel anymore. Then we can call any Protestant church Israel now. Because they've been mocking the Lord since day one because they break his law. And it even literally says in the scriptures, if you teach others to break God's law, then you're no way going to make it home. And this is why we also see the Lord repeating Babylon is fallen twice in the prophetic word. They fell long ago, yes, but in the end days, those that were called out have also fallen now. And unless the SDA people obey the Lord and come out of apostasy, they'll never receive a single drop of the latter rain. They will be counted as the unwise virgins that were, you know, locked out of the wedding feasts to come. So just as Israel joined with the pagan churches and even erected pagan idols in the land, like the steeples on all the churches. If people would just open up encyclopedia, it's that easy sometimes, and see what that pagan symbol of the steeple means. And I'm not going to go into any detail because there's kids listening, but that is one of the most vulgar things. It's what you saw all over the doors of like the doorposts of every room in Pompeii before God destroyed that homosexual community. Because that's what Pompeii was. It was just a homosexual resort for the Roman soldiers. And the reason that mountain blew up and covered them is because of what they did in 70 AD when they burned the temple of the Lord down. It was just payment for their sins. That and the fact that it was a homosexual city. I mean, look at Sodom and Gomorrah, then you got Pompeii, look at San Francisco, look at Katrina. You know, and look at the flood of Noah, as a matter of fact. The entire planet was covered in a flood because of the final straw being homosexual marriage. I mean, it wasn't just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't just like it was in Pompeii. It wasn't just like it was in San Francisco. It was global then, when they made it legal for man. And Jesus talks about that, as we all know, in Luke chapter 17. But, or is it 7? Well, it's one of those. But the thing is, that was the final straw, to mock the Lord, the Creator God, for them to do the things that they were doing. So just as Israel joined with the pagan churches and even erected those pagan phallic symbols on their roofs, calling them steeples, the SDA church has joined with all the apostate churches in the long prophesied one world church. And I actually got a fairly new page. I think it's about a year old by now, on sdaapostasy.org, where I found some documentation that showed that all the pastors in the SDA church have been lying the last decade or two. When we asked them, have you joined with the One World Church that started in 2000? And they all said no. Well, not only are they members, they fund it. Got the documentation finally. But the thing is, it took so long to get the documentation. Now some of the people are complacent now. They're sitting in the pews thinking it's no big deal. I mean, they're sitting in there, and their leaders are saying Allah is God. They're saying homosexual marriage is okay, and they're sanctioning all sorts of crazy stuff. And so that's what happens when the lukewarm theology brings you off the path. So just as Israel did back then, the ninth house church or the ninth hour church of has polluted the land with their whoredoms now. And that's why they hate us the way they do. But and for those of you new to this truth, go to sdaapostasy.org, you know, because there's a mountain of evidence in there that, like Israel of old, the SDA church is now just as sinful and vile today. And it was bound to happen because it's always going to be the target. That's why I did that that one page on the website called Seven Churches, Four Movements. Now, some people, as a matter of fact, I'm going to answer that question later in regards to how do we know that we're the true church. I'll get to that later in the sermon. So I'm not going to go into the detail now, but suffice it to say that just like back then, Babylon has besieged them, taken them all. They're all surrounded, but no longer are they surrounded by Rome. They are now invaded. I mean, it's not just a siege now. Rome's in there now. They're standing at the pulpits, and they have become one with them, but just as Israel of old was. It's the same thing. The city was burned. The walls have fallen. Babylon now calls the shots. And just as Israel did in Jeremiah's day, the SDA Church has done today. They've gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there they have played the harlot. They even embraced the pagan holidays as Israel did in their day. And since they have ignored all the men and women of God that have echoed what Jeremiah is saying, said by, you know, turn out unto me, but she returneth not. And so, like the Lord did back then, he does today. I mean, after all, he is a God that never changes, right? And so God has put her away and given her a bill of divorce, and now the remnant of her seed, or us, are going to finish the work, because that's what the prophecy said. That's why we're small in comparison to their standards. We've got quite a few people now, but we're not in the millions like the rest of the churches. But then again, there was only 8 souls on the Ark of Noah as well. And Jesus did say it's going to be like the days of Noah when we go forth. And so, and by the way, this is why they are all so angry. And now, yeah, I know the Catholics hate me to the point where I get the death threats. And a lot of the Protestants are that way too, but I don't get death threats. And I haven't gotten any death threats from the SDAs, but I've gotten threats of, like, been thrown behind bars and stuff like they're trying to sue me and stuff like that, or asking for permission to sue me and stuff. And so, and some of you have seen what you've seen as well. You know, like you used to be SDA, you go up to your pastor and you try to share with them truth, and they kick you out of the church. They don't want to hear it because you're a problem. You're a boat rocker. And so even though they worked all day, and this is one of the main reasons, though, that they're angry, and this has to do with that seven churches, four movement thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 20. Even though they think they worked all the day, because they did, they worked in the morning, you know, in the infancy of the church, but then when it got later, they stopped working, but they still claimed to do the work, but they didn't really. But let's just assume that they think they did. And we only work a short while because we're in the 11th hour. There's no 12th hour. there's only going to be 7 churches and 4 final movements. And that's what the Bible says. And so we can't get around that. We can't add to or take away, because if we do, the curses of the book will be on us. And so we only work a short while, and they get, and we're going to get the same day's wages, spiritual wages, if you will, as we saw in, that prophesied by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 20. And so that's what upsets them. They're seeing all the blessings on us that they used to see in their infancy. And so they're all upset. So anyway, let's go to question number 7. Let me see if I can get through to this one. I should be able to. And the question is, with whom has she committed fornication? And the answer is Revelation 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So the pagan dogma of Rome, or wine of fornication, as the Lord describes it here, and for those of you that are kind of new to the message, I have a study I did years ago. It took me about, I don't know, it's 2.5 or 3.5 years, I can't remember. I got to look it up, and one of these days I just should, instead I keep saying it that way. I define every single solitary symbol in the book of Revelation using all the other 65 books of the Bible, including the 66th, which is Revelation, because, you know, the angel tells John what some of the symbols actually mean. And so, but if you go through all the other books of the Bible, you'll understand what all those symbols mean. And that's what I did. And it took took years to do that study. And it's not exhaustive, because some of the symbols are repeated so many times in Scripture that I just put ETC. It's just repeated so many times. In other words, the Lord's being that blunt. You can't understand Revelation. I mean, it's called Revelation. It's not called hidden. The prophetic utterances that were hidden were Daniel's prophecies, that, you know, the 2300 thing with all the dates. And then, of course, what we saw in Daniel 12 about the the knowledge will be increased. And so now we understand what those dates mean. I mean, and they actually match up with what Revelation is talking about. But so the pagan dogma of Rome, or the wine of fornication, is the spirit of worldly orthodoxy that has invaded all the churches. This is why they don't get their prayers answered. This is why when you go to church at these churches, you get all excited and have a blast while you're there. And as soon as you walk out, it's back to normal. No more peace. Back to the grindstone. No more happiness. No more joy. No more bliss. No more Jesus. Well, they never had him in the first place, but it's very easily done in these churches to manipulate the flesh to make him feel euphoric, if you will. That's one of the reasons for the music. And we all know who the angel of music is, right? So anyway, especially today, we see everything from homosexuality to embracing the Muslims' false god of Allah in all the churches now. Even the drinking of alcohol, women dressing as men, tobacco use, eating unclean and bloody meat, which has been proven time and time again to be extremely harmful to the human body. It's one of the reasons the Lord calls it unclean in Leviticus or even Deuteronomy. And because today we call it cancer and all these other kind of diseases, but the scriptures is pretty plain. You eat these unclean animals. And take the pig, for example, pork. Would you eat a fly? Well, of course not. No one wants to eat a fly because they know what they eat. Well, do you know what a pig eats? The pig is like a giant fly. He'll eat whatever rots in front of him. And he eats such toxic things that his flesh, his body can't assimilate it as without him being toxic and dying. So what the Lord did was allow his flesh, his hide, to be literally permeated with worms. And these worms will feast on the toxins and prevent the pig from dying. Problem is, you can't kill those worms just by eating it. You can't kill those worms by cooking it either. And those worms will get in you. And there's all sorts of crazy things that will happen after that. And there's some really, really gross videos about where those worms will end up. And like I saw one time where the guy, it was in his eyeball. His eyeball was filled with worms. Because they'll figure that they got to find a place to go. They go right through your intestinal wall and they'll look for places. They usually go after the joints. That's what happened to me because I was a pork eater. And it went after my right arm in my, it just ripped up my muscles in my, right where it attaches to the elbow. And to this day, it still hurts. But it hasn't made me a cripple or nothing like that, but it can be very, very painful. And so everything from cancer to heart disease and diabetes is confirmed that as fact billions of times in our generation alone, and it's just from the unclean foods. So it's not just embracing doctrines of demons and traditions of man that Rome has introduced into the churches. You got sports, rock music, and Hollywood has become the norm for most Christians as well now. They are all lovers of the world now, and this is why the present Jesuit Pope is able to make demonic and very evil claims without so much as a slap on the wrist from, now sure, we get out there and I make videos about them and expose them left and right and people see it, because a lot of people have ears to hear and eyes to see, but most don't because of the prophecies. We are in the very last days. And so, but he doesn't get a slap on the wrist from all the preachers and the pastors. And this includes the SDA church that was called in the infancy. And this is one of the reasons they were targeted. They exposed the Pope of Rome. Because the final prophecy was the man of sin would be revealed. And that's what they did with the three angels' message. They went out and they revealed the Pope as the Antichrist. And run by Satan, the man of sin, the son of perdition, whatever. So he literally, on camera, three times declared Jesus Christ a failure. This Pope, right? And as a matter of fact, Kenneth Copeland, who just joined with him 2 years ago, also said the biggest failure in the Bible was Jesus Christ. And no one seems to have an issue with this. This is how close to the end we are. The devil's pulling out the big guns. And so he calls Jesus a failure three times on camera, and not so much as a single eyebrow was raised by the mainstream church leaders. Those of us that understand the truth, well, yeah, our eyes are open to all this, and so we exposed him. This is why we get attacked the way we do, and my videos get censored, and my website gets censored. So he declared, literally, all needed to deny Jesus 2 years ago, and again, all you heard were crickets across Christendom. And not long after he made that statement, politicians like Obama and Hillary Clinton echoed his claims on camera for all the world to hear, too. I did videos about that as well. I mean, I can literally go on for hours and hours on some of the insane statements made by the last few popes alone, but I don't need to do that because the majority in this church are of the remnant people. And they know what they're looking at just as much as I do. But the greatest sin levied against Babylon is that she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This cup of spiritual intoxication represents the plethora of false doctrines that she has preached, which exposes the Vatican's true love and political connections she is mostly concerned with when it comes to the men and women of power that are in the world. She no doubt greases the palms and strokes the eagles of this evil lot so as to not have a repeat of what she saw in 1798, which was the end of the 1,260-year prophecy of Daniel, and Napoleon and his friends administered her long prophesied mortal wound to the exact date that Daniel said. So friendship with the world moved the men of sin to mix Christianity with politics, and in so doing brought on a corrupting influence upon all the world by teaching the doctrines which are supposed to be truth, but in fact they're opposing the eternal word of God. And this is why Christianity, real Christianity, is hated today, because it goes against the grain of what the other prophecy says, where they're going to preach another Jesus. And that's what they're doing. So, and as I illustrated in a video I made back in January of this year, this is why her sermons are so well scripted. Remember that video I showed where how we know the Vatican is in control of the media because of the first beast and the second beast of Revelation, you know, that being the USA, was to go under the power of Rome, and everything that this nation does, the government does now, is in direct agreement with whatever the Pope says to do. Just ever since Ronald Reagan says, yeah, we're doing what we can to echo that which the Pope would have us do. He didn't say that in those words, but he more or less said it. And so they're going to go forth and they're going to, you know, destroy as much as they can when it comes to the faith of billions. But if you saw the video, I was revealing that in regards to the how the media, like I did that one thing about, it was a commercial, it wasn't a commercial, I'm sorry. It was a news broadcast where I showed, I think, maybe 3 dozen or maybe 2 dozen different news channels, different reporters saying the exact same thing verbatim. They were all reading the same teleprompters in different states of the nation, different TV stations, and they all did it on the radio too, but I didn't put that up there. And I stopped it because I had so many, it was just going to take too long for the video. But the main reason I did it was to, you know, put the, you know, in other words, reveal what was, who was actually behind it all. If you've ever gone to the Catholic Church and gone to one of their masses, you can literally go, like, say, if you found a church, and a lot of them do this, they'll have a mass in the morning and a mass in the evening on Sundays. And, or you'll have it on Saturday and then Sunday morning, or twice in the morning. You can go to all three. They'll all have the exact same prayers, the exact same sermons, the exact same verses. As a matter of fact, I showed in the video how you can get these books. I can't remember what it was called now. Electionary, I think it was, where they'll tell you years in advance what the sermon's going to be about. Now, how on earth can they do that unless it's not it's not a sermon, it's an agenda? And this is how Rome is. And that's why it's so boring when you go to those churches. It's just the same thing over and over again, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have an understanding. They can only twist so many Bible verses. That's why there's so many. In other words, they couldn't get all the Bible verses out of the Bible. I found Jesus with a Roman Catholic Bible that's got 2,000 verses missing. And so they can't keep up with the truth, with their lies, you know. And so what they do is, when they figure out a good way to super twist something to make it appear that it's truth, they lock that one down and then use it forever. And this is why the Mass never changed. Once they came up with a whole mess of these weird theologies and these weird ways to twist the scriptures, they came up with a church method, or a Mass as they call it, which is the same exact term you'll find in a satanic church. So that's why their verses are scripture. So no longer can they understand the word of God, and so they test and they try and they test and they try certain verses dozens of times to see if they can be used to shore up their false doctrines. When they finally do find the perfect lie, they lock it down forever in their lectionaries, and so as to never have to worry about how to respond to the naysayers that are going to crop up from time to time like us. Because they can easily manipulate the people we approach. They can't manipulate us. They know. That's why they kick you out of the churches. They can't manipulate somebody who's walking in the truth. They go after the people that we're trying to pull out. And if they're not grounded, if they're not opening up their Bibles on a daily basis, their lives are going to be so well crafted that they're going to fall for it. So pray for them as well as when you approach. So they have a long list of well-scripted and extra-biblical responses that, unless you've read your Bible, you cannot find the deceptive twist too easily. And so when they find something that works, they just stick with it and forever demand their priest preach it. Those lectionaries, if put to the test, would only be able to give 3 years out-of-context sermons. That's the only way they can get it. It's like 3 years. I mean, they simply cannot do better than that, and since mankind's memory is so short, cited anyway by worldly indulgences from diet to entertainment, there's not going to be a single Catholic out there that's going to realize the sermon they heard today is an exact same one they heard 3 years ago. They're not going to get it. And that's what they do. They just keep repeating it every 3 years. You know, in other words, take a tape recorder with you. Well, I wouldn't advise going into Catholic church and sit there for 3 years, 6 years actually, because you'd have to see how it actually does work that way, word for word. So, you know, it's always made me wonder if this is what they were working on those 130 years between 1798 to 1929, when that other prophecy came true, where their mortal wound was going to start getting healed. Because that's when Mussolini and Gasparri got together in 1929, and the Vatican became a church and state again, just like the prophecy said. It's going to be the beast that was, is not, yet is. In other words, it was the beast that was from 538 to 1798. The beast that is not is from 1798 to 1929 because there's no more power. The political stuff was yanked out of them when Napoleon did what he did. And then in 1929 to now is the beast that was, or Israel, because they're back. And directly same year, that's when the Federal Reserve started and our economy was destroyed from that point. It was the worst thing they ever did to this nation. But that was planned too. So anyway, after they did that, and the church came back into the power, not long after that, it started to fill up again, but that was mostly due to their demonic apparitions 14 years prior at Fatima. So, and that's a whole other sermon there. So in any event, I praise the Lord for his written word, as it truly prevents the soul from falling for the lies of the man of sin, who has openly embraced the dying God of this world, and he's gotten all the other denominations to go in tune with him, just like the prophecy said. All the world is wondering after that man of sin or the beast in Rome. So I hope and pray you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.